Morning, everybody. Great to see you here in worship at the Bridge. I just am very excited about sharing the message with you today. It's one of those doctrines of the Bible that was a life-changing doctrine for me, and I pray it is for you too. We're continuing our study of spiritual gifts, and when I began to understand spiritual gifts, it helped me deal with some deep-seated fears in my life and in my heart. It just helped me to look at my fellow Christians in a completely different way, and it just gave me encouragement to use whatever gifts and abilities God has given me in service to His kingdom. And so it's my prayer that this message and this series will bring that blessing to you as well. If you happen to have a Bible, I'd encourage you to open it to 1 Corinthians 12, or if you have the Bible app on your phone or tablet, open it up to 1 Corinthians 12. We'll be reading through this section through the course of the message. Now, when we think about the whole idea of spiritual gifts, what we have the privilege of doing is seeing the church from a completely different perspective. Now, this is a perspective that is so unusual to us that it's even hard to recognize it's the church that we're familiar with. It's a view of God's church from above. It's God's view of His body, the church, the believers in Jesus. Now, the first thing that the Apostle Paul deals with is he talks to us about the church as the body of Christ is to reassure us that we belong. See, whenever you walk into a setting, whether it's a big group like this or some other setting, and you've never been there before especially, it's easy to feel like maybe I don't belong here. And that's especially true in the church. You know, when you come here, you put on some nice clothes, and you put on your Sunday best face as well. But you kind of forget that you do that. And when you walk into the Bridge, it's very easy to look around at the other people and go, man, they don't have the same problems I have. You see, you know how you lost your temper and yelled at your wife or husband or kids this past week. You know the thoughts that are going through your mind very often that you would just be ashamed if anybody, even your closest friend, would know those thoughts. You're just ashamed of them, but you know them. And there may be something that you have done in the past that you hope no one ever finds out about, because it's just one of those shameful things that just the devil keeps throwing back into your memory, and you have a hard time ever really getting rid of it. And so you walk into the Bridge, into God's church, and you wonder, do I really belong here? Because you can see your own sins, but you can't see as clearly the sins of the people around you. So that's what the Apostle Paul deals with in the first paragraph that we're going to read, 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 12. He says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So Paul says, you know, the church is a lot like our bodies. And Paul said, you know, in the church in Corinth, there were some pretty significant differences among the members of the church in Corinth. Some of them were of Jewish background, some were of Gentile or Greek background. Some of them were slaves and some were free, and that variety is present among us today. There are some families who worship here at St. Paul's in the Bridge who can trace their ancestry back to the original founders, 12 families, 159 years ago. And there's some of you who have walked in here for the first time, maybe this week or last week. Some of you are just barely making ends meet, and some of you are quite well off. But what unites all of us? Paul says that we were all baptized by the one Spirit, by one baptism. How do you know that you belong here? It's not because of who you are or what you've done. It's because of a promise that God gave to every one of us, the exact same promise that He gave to us in our baptisms. And He wants us to go back to our baptismal promise over and over again, that promise that in our baptisms, all of our sins have been washed away. So those angry words that you said this past week, Jesus died for them, and your baptism is a promise that those sins are washed away in God's sight, God's view of you as a part of His church. Those thoughts that you're ashamed of, God knows them, and God made a promise to you in your baptism that sin has also been washed away. And those memories that keep coming back to you, go back to your baptism. Every one of us has this same claim before God, that we have been baptized and our sins have been washed away, including those sins that the devil keeps throwing up in our minds. You and I belong here because you and I claim the same promise of God that's given to us in our baptisms. And then Paul says that we're all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, this could be a reference to the Lord's Supper. It could possibly be a reference to what we talked about in the school chapel a week or so ago, that the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 talks about Jesus as the spiritual rock that accompanies us. And from that spiritual rock flows the river of the water of life. And so you and I come to the cross of Christ, and daily we drink in the promise of forgiveness, the promise that we will live forever, the promise that not even death can separate us from our God. You and I belong here because we've all drank from that same spiritual drink that flows from the cross of Christ. We belong. What happens when you gather together with a group of people is we naturally start to make comparisons. And the first thing that might happen is you might feel discouraged. You might despair because you see people who have greater gifts than you have. You might think, well, you know, Pete's a pastor and we have teachers here. We had missionary John Holtz from Malawi here at the first service. Wow, those are people who have great gifts to offer in God's church, but what do I have to offer? You know, I'm a nothing. And so the Apostle Paul deals with that issue in the next paragraph, beginning at verse 15. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. You know, aren't you thankful that your body has a lot of different parts? You know, my hand is not my foot. They do two different things, but I'm glad I got both of them, right? My hand is different than my head, but I'm thankful I got both of them. And what's true in our physical bodies is also true here in the spiritual body, the body of Christ, God's church. That I am so thankful that God has given you different spiritual gifts than I have. You know, the church could not function if everybody was a Pete Panitsky. You see, I am not good at technology. I don't know how lights work. I don't know electricity. If something breaks, I can't fix it. And I'm a lousy gardener. So if the entire church was made up of this part, my clicker wouldn't work. There would be no lights. Everything around us would be broken. And we'd all be hungry. I am so thankful that God has given you gifts different from mine. And you don't have to be envious of my gifts, and I don't have to be envious of your gifts. Because God has given you your gifts as a blessing to me, and my gifts as a blessing to you. See, your gifts really aren't yours. They're mine too. And my gifts really aren't mine. They're yours. So why should we despair when we compare ourselves with each other and we see that we have different gifts? No! God's put the parts of the body of the church together as He knows best. And I can just celebrate the fact that you have different gifts than I do, and you can celebrate that I have different gifts than you do. But you know, if the devil realizes that he can't push us one way, if he can't push us into despair, then very often what he does is he just tries to push us the opposite direction, and he tries to push us into arrogance. You know, look at my gifts. My gifts are so great that, you know, the church couldn't function without them. And so the Apostle Paul deals with that issue in the next paragraph. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You know, isn't it interesting that our bodies, we do have some parts of our bodies that are unpresentable, right? You know, that we always keep clothed, you know? We need those parts of the body, but we treat them with special honor. We always keep them covered. We don't cover our hands, we don't cover our faces, but there's some parts of the body that are less presentable, but we treat them with special honor. And what's true in our bodies is true in the church as well. There are some parts of the church that the world out there might think are unpresentable, that they are not as important parts of the body as some other part. But as I think about this, I think about a woman in our congregation. She was a single woman. God called her home to heaven about 10 years ago. The rest of the world may have thought of her as a less honorable, yes, less useful part of the body of Christ because she had some disabilities. But Kathy Bennett, Alex's aunt, Kathy, if she greeted you in the lobby, it was the most sincere greeting. She was made you feel so much at home and glad that you were there. She'd give you a hug. And, you know, we never lacked for somebody in the church nursery because she loved kids. And she was there every week. And so the unpresentable parts, the parts that maybe somebody else would go, does this person really have any gifts? We give special honor. I just think it's appropriate that we honor Kathy by mentioning her name years and years after God called her home to heaven. And then if you think in terms of, well, I have gifts that the church can't live without, I'd just like to share with you a quotation from a man that has gotten smarter over the years. He's my dad. You know how that works, you know? My dad once told me, the cemetery is filled with people the world couldn't live without. When you think that your gifts are so vitally important to the church and that your gifts are more important than anybody else's gift, go take a walk out in our cemetery. And just remember that God did incredible things in His church before He gave you your gifts. And if the world continues after you and I die, God is going to do incredible things in His church without us. There's no reason for arrogance. We just accept and appreciate that God has given each one of us different gifts. We give thanks to God for them. And we say, Lord, use me to bless this generation with the gifts that you have given me. And that leads into the last section. The Apostle Paul lists some of the spiritual gifts that God gave the early Christian church. Now, some of these spiritual gifts are what we'd call miraculous spiritual gifts. They were able to speak in languages or tongues that they had never learned. They could heal people. Now, at the end of Mark's gospel, we're told that the Lord Jesus worked with the apostles, confirming the word through the miraculous signs that accompanied them. And so, as the apostles went out, they could do these miraculous things to confirm that what they were speaking really was God's word. It comes as no surprise, then, as we look at church history, that gradually those miraculous gifts died out within the generation or so after the time of Christ, because the word had been confirmed, and then we had the written word before us that had been confirmed by the miraculous signs performed by the apostles. So we don't see those kind of miraculous signs in the church as we did in the first century. But the Holy Spirit is still giving gifts to His church. And so the Apostle Paul lists some of these. And now this list isn't exhaustive by any means. But he says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You belong here, right? And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer is, of course not. We all have different gifts. And what I'd like to do is, I would like to do what we do when we eat a meal. Most of us, when we sit down to eat a meal, there's a little prayer that we say sometime in the course of that meal. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. We thank God for the gifts that He has given us. And what I want to do is, I want to just go through a list of some spiritual gifts that God has given the church and just spend some time saying, thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you have given to me, that I understand the gifts that He has given to me as an individual. So in the worship folder, you have this little spiritual gift survey. Could you take that out? And what I'd ask you to do is, I'm going to go through this spiritual gift survey very quickly, and I'd ask you to circle, you know, oh, this is me, or well, maybe I'm not sure if it's me or not, or this is not me at all. Okay? So the first gift that's mentioned there is administration. And when I think about the gift of administration, I think about my brother pastors. Pastor Keel, he likes to make sure that we're all in the right place at the right time. He is a detail-oriented person. He has a gift of administration. And Pastor Bonach has a gift of administration. He loves to plug people in and get them involved in ministry. They both have gifts of administration in different ways. Knowledge or teaching, you know, it may be that you just enjoy teaching your kids at home. You like to read Bible stories with them, or you just like to talk to people about what you know about the Savior. Or maybe you enjoy teaching adults. Is that you? I'd ask it, you know, circle, is it you? Maybe? Not at all? Manual arts is a gift that I really appreciate. You know, when something breaks at my house, it is a cause for despair. My wife will attest to this. But for some of you, when something breaks at your home, that is a puzzle that you are going to figure out, right? God bless you if that's you. Your gift is vitally important in God's church. Circle which one applies. Serving, arts and crafts. This past Friday, I bumped into Jenny in the Trinity Cafe. She was decorating for the Fall Unity Festival. She does a lot of stuff here at church. She's very gifted. But she just said, you know, I like to do this because this refreshes me. Are you somebody who just gets refreshed by decorating and using your artistic ability to make something look nicer? Then maybe God's given you this gift. Writing can take different forms. My roommate in college, he would get up in the middle of the night and start writing ideas for a short story. He had the gift of writing. I could never write a short story for the life of me, but I enjoy writing in a different way. And so I just ask you, is this you? Do you have this gift? Wisdom is one of those things. Do you find that people just come up to you and start asking you for advice, that somehow they know that God's going to give you some good answers, or them good answers through you? Maybe it's because God has given you the gift of wisdom. Now, I know that all of you are going, I'm not going to mark evangelism, because if I mark evangelism, they're going to ask me to go knock on doors. And that is not what evangelism is. When I think about evangelism, I think about a member of our congregation who is serving as a coach in a community athletic league. Why? Because he wants to be a Christian leader out there in the world. He wants to rub shoulders with people who don't know Jesus. I think it's because God has given him the gift of evangelism. And I just ask, is that you? Do you have this passion? I want more people to know about Jesus. Exhortation, it could be the same as wisdom, but actually I think about my brother in Christ who every time I come up to the bridge, he comes up and he puts his arm around me and he says a quick prayer and he says some words of encouragement. He just knows, man, he needs some encouragement right at that time. And maybe that's you. You just have this sixth sense that somebody needs a kind word, a word of comfort or encouragement. Maybe it's because God's given you that gift. Circle it if that's true of you. You know, as I was thinking about these gifts, I realized that when I was about 7 years old, I would lay out my play farm on the living room floor. My mother loved it, I'm told. But I would lay out my play farm, and I would dream as a seven-year-old about the farm that I would build when I was an adult. No one told me or taught me to dream about the future. It's just the way I'm wired. And maybe that's you too. You just spend more time thinking about the future than you do about the past. Now, all of us are called to give, but some of you have this incredible ability that it's not that you have a lot of money and you can give a lot of money, but you see a need and you'll be willing to give somebody the shirt off your back because God has wired you in this special way. Is that you? Hospitality is one of those, you know, gifts that if you have it, you can make anybody feel at home no matter where they are. What a marvelous gift that is. Is that you? Leadership. You know, when you're at school or at work and you form a group, do you naturally kind of become the leader of that group? Maybe it's because God's given you the gift of leadership. And when I think about Mercy, I think about a couple of women who are serving, a member of our congregation, Cheryl Schrader. They're just neighbors, but they have given countless hours. They have helped Cheryl in ways that I would never have dreamed of being able to help her, just because they saw a need and they were filled with compassion, mercy. Is that you? If so, please mark it down. Some of you have instrumental musical ability, singing ability. We need those gifts in God's church. Serving, I think of members of the church that I could ask you to do just about anything and you would do it, except sit on a committee and be a leader of an organization. That's when you just go, oh, please, anything but this. Maybe it's because God's given you this serving gift. And what a marvelous gift that is to help God's kingdom grow. And shepherding, if you find yourself, you see somebody at Piggly Wiggly or Pick and Save or Walmart. I do get extra money for those plugs, by the way. But you see those people there from the bridge or from church, and you go, man, I haven't seen them for a long time. And you go up and you spend some time talking with them, even though you know that your wife is at home waiting for you to bring back the pickles or whatever, you know. But you just want to talk to them and just encourage them to come back. Maybe it's because God's given you the gift of shepherding. Now, what I'd like you to do is I would like you to go over that list and write down the three highest spiritual gifts. For some of you, it may be, man, I've got five things that I go, man, that's me. Write the three highest. For some of you who are a little less confident about yourself, maybe you don't have any, yes, that's me, but you have a bunch of, maybe it's me, then write three of those that you think are maybe you. Write them down. What we're going to do is we're going to use this as part of our offering. I'm going to ask you to fold it in half and put it into the offering later on so that this is part of our offering to God. God has given us these gifts and abilities, and I want God's church to know about it so that as we put this into our database, in the future we can know better how has God gifted His church and how can we use the gifts God's given you to extend His kingdom. Remember, this list is not exhaustive. And so, you know, if you enjoy woodworking, write that down instead. Or if you like working on cars, write that down as a spiritual gift. If you like to garden, or you're an accountant, or a plumber, or a painter, or a candlestick maker, I don't care, whatever you like to do, write it down. And then put your name on it. Give us a contact information just in case our database is not complete. And then fold it in half and we'll put it in the offering in just a sec. But just to remember, you know, as you think about spiritual gifts, we're looking at God's church from God's perspective. And when that's true, you and I have no reason for fear. We know that we belong because we have the same promises flowing out of Christ. You are a forgiven child of God. There's no reason for despair because you don't have the same gifts that somebody else has. God's given you the exact gifts that He wants you to have. And there's no reason for arrogance because all I do is use the gifts that God has given me to be a blessing to the people around us. And with that, I'd like to close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, just like at the supper table, we return thanks. We just give You thanks for giving us our daily bread. Today we just return thanks and we give You thanks for the spiritual gifts that You have given to each of us individually and the spiritual gifts and abilities You've given to our brothers and sisters in Christ that are sitting around us, the spiritual gifts You have given to us as an entire body of Christ worshiping here at the Bridge. We thank and praise You for every one of those gifts. And we just ask, Lord, that You would help us to see those gifts more clearly, that You would help us constantly to be rejoicing in those gifts, and that we encourage each other to use our gifts, and that we would step forward and use our gifts, whether it be here on campus or out there in the world, that ultimately more people would know You as their Savior God. It makes so much difference. And I just was reminded of that today. A brother and sister in Christ just asked us to pray for Chelsea. What a privilege that we have to come to you, Lord, and ask that you would watch over Chelsea as she goes through surgery again tomorrow. It's a privilege that a lot of people don't know, that we have this God who can do all things and who loves us unconditionally. And so we place Chelsea into your powerful and loving hands, and we ask that you'd watch over her during surgery and cause all to go well. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to share this comfort and this joy with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody. God bless.